In today's episode of the Brisbane Property Podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive on automatic valuation reports. We're going to describe what they are, how accurate they are, and we're going to report on some groundbreaking research that our team have done to determine how many properties in Brisbane have sold within the automatic valuation report range. This information will be useful for you if you're looking to buy in Brisbane soon or if you're wanting to understand how to price a property.
Welcome to the Brisbane Property Podcast with your hosts Melinda and Scott Jennison from Streamline Property Buyers, your local Brisbane property specialists.
Hi everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Brisbane Property Podcast with Scott and Melinda Jennison.
Yes, welcome back everybody. Today's episode is going to be another fantastic episode where we've compiled information from our own in-house research team to share with you. Scott, what's the title of what we're addressing today?
So there is a lot of research and a big shout out to everyone in the team that does all this. Pauline does a lot of work as well behind the scenes. So the amount of information that we've got here for those I call data nerds or people that love the research, not pointing fingers at Melinda, but we're talking about AVLs. So automatic valuations on properties. So a lot of people obviously look at these types of things when they look at to understand a price of a house or to get a bit of a guide, I guess, on a house. So today we've got a lot of information about this. Melinda will probably go into a lot more depth as we get to chat about it. But if you can just explain a little bit more, Melinda, if you can, for our listeners about what an AVL actually is.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those listeners that want a really in-depth analysis of what an automatic valuation report is, you can either link back to episode number 163, which was published on our podcast back in June 2023. We talked about the pros and cons of automatic valuation reports, but we've also got a link included in the show notes to this episode. And that link will take you to a blog that we've written about automatic valuation reports and their accuracy. And that provides a really detailed response in terms of what these automatic valuation reports are. But for the purposes of those people that choose not to access some of those additional resources, I will explain that an automatic valuation report is an algorithm-based computer-generated report which provides an estimate of the market value of real estate at a specific point in time. So really it's a number or a range, a value range that's computer generated that gives a price range for a property that a lot of consumers, a lot of property buyers will go to give them some sense of certainty around the value of a particular property. Now, for those consumers in the market who have looked at some of these automatic valuation reports in the past, you may have visited websites that include websites such as onthehouse.com.au or propertyvalue.com.au. These sorts of websites will provide you with a range. Even realestate.com.au can provide an estimated value range for a property. So when you are seeing any websites that you can type in an address to get an estimated value range for a property, those sorts of websites are using the algorithm-based computer-generated reports or automatic valuation reports. There are other subscription-based websites such as RP Data or CoreLogic that enables those of us in the industry to access reports that are put out to people like brokers and financiers. So those reports are also available for paid subscription users. So a lot of mortgage brokers and a lot of banks will regularly use automatic valuation reports for residential portfolio valuations. So that gives you an explanation of what they actually are.
Now, just in simple terms for our listeners, if somebody's looking for a property and they set up a search in realestate.com, for example, and they put that their top budget is, let's say, $1 million, does that have anything to do with AVLs? Obviously, if someone's looking for a house, say $1 million, and they put their maximum budget as this, and it will obviously give them the properties that come up on realestate.com should stop around that level. Has that got anything to do with an AVL?
Good question. And the answer is no. So the way a property search will, or a property may be filtered in a property search platform like realestate.com.au or domain.com.au, is that the sales agent will be providing a filter for the price range in the back end when they list that property for sale. That's generally not going to necessarily align with an automatic valuation report at all. So these are two very different things. And that's probably a topic to address at another time. Yep. So no, that's not what these are referring to. These are those algorithm-based computer-generated valuation ranges that people can access when they're looking at a particular property.
So I guess in a simple question then, how accurate are AVLs?
That's a really interesting question because with the information that we have compiled through our in-house research team, and I'll explain what we've done, I think that's probably an interesting first step. So about 7 to 8 weeks ago, we actually collected the property addresses of all properties that were currently listed for sale that we're going to auction within the next 2 weekends. So we collated all of that information in-house. We then had Pauline, who works with us, to collect the automatic valuation report information from CoreLogic, which is the paid subscription that our team have through RP Data. Now, that paid subscription provides an automatic valuation report for every property. So we search the address and it provides us with an estimated CoreLogic value, as well as a low end of the range and a high end of the range. So really, we're going to get a range. For example, the property's estimated value by CoreLogic might be $1,220,000. The low end of the range, $1,080,000. And the top end of the range, $1,340,000. And those figures have just been quoted based on the first property that's in the research report that we've put together. Then 7 to 8 weeks later, we went back through and tracked the actual sale price for those properties. So we knew that those properties had had sold. We also were able to track the settled sale value. And then we could actually go back retrospectively to determine whether the sale price was close to the estimated value, was within the range between the low end and the high end. And if it fell outside of that range, was it higher than the estimated range or lower than the estimated range? And then we were also able to extrapolate some of the reasons around why we saw some outliers within the data. So this is really useful information. And of course, as buyer's agents, this is the sort of information that helps us to educate our buyers when we're partnering with them to determine, you know, where we can rely on this sort of information and when we can't rely on this information, because there's so much information in that AI space. There's so much data available that more and more people are turning to data and AI to help them with some decisions in life. So we really wanted to unpack the accuracy in what we've done.
And also when people look at, say, for example, like we you've talked about here, the actual sold price, when you're looking at a property, that data is lagging as well. So that mm-hmm. data is also old, 30, 60, 90 days, depending on the settlement side of things. So you've got to understand that that data that we've actually used in our reports here, it is older data. So it's lagging as well.
Yeah. And one thing I also want to say is that subsequent to a property selling, all of those automatic valuation ranges will adjust. They will change based on the sale price that's actually achieved for that particular property. So this is why the information that we collected had to be collected prior to the property selling, so that we were capturing the estimated value at a time where the actual sale price was not going to influence that value range. And this is why it's really important that we had that time lag between when we collected the initial AVL data and when we then collected the sale value for that particular property. So we started with a larger sample size. Not every property that we originally were tracking eventuated in a sale, but we ended up with 35 properties throughout Brisbane that we continued to track. And we also got the actual sold value. Whilst this sample size is not large, it is large enough to extrapolate information for us to share with you in this podcast. And that's what we're about to do today.
So as a bit of a summary then for what we're going to talk about, and Melinda will being a data heavy person, I'll say, it's probably a nice way to put it. As we get into this, as Melinda said, we've got a list of properties. We had a look at what the low, the estimate, and the high is. We've actually captured the sold price. What sort of difference? Can you give us a quick summary before you jump into everything? What sort of range did we get that was actually out of the range?
Really good question. So in terms of the accuracy of these automatic valuation reports, we found that within our sample, 60% of the properties actually sold within the range between the lowest end and the top end of the range as reported by CoreLogic, 60%. What's more alarming for us is that 40% of those properties that we were tracking actually sold either above or below the range that was estimated by the automatic valuation reports. So 40% gross inaccuracy based on that total range. Now, if I was to actually give you some more specific examples, we had some properties where the inaccuracy between the estimated value and the eventual sale price was approaching $2 million at the top end. And in other cases, we had accuracy that was as close as $5,000, or in fact, we had a property selling for exactly the same amount as was estimated. So that gives you some scope in terms of, you know, the fact that it's very property dependent, and that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Just on that range, I'm not sure if you did touch on it earlier. I know we talked about the initial range. Is that a set range? So is there a $200,000 buffer? Is it we've got a bottom line here and we've got a higher price here? Does that move around and is it different or is it set at a certain number?
It does vary. So the actual range above and below will vary depending on the property itself. And in fact, we've got some examples where a property that we tracked in New Farm had a low end range of $3,040,000 and a top end value range of $4,570,000. So that's quite a large differential between the lower end and the top end for that particular property. Now, the property, once it's sold, actually sold for $4 million. So it was within the range, but it is a very big difference between, like, the range itself was $1,530,000. So that's actually quite large when it comes to understanding, you know, what you should be paying as a consumer. Another example of a range for another property we were tracking in Carindale, the bottom end of the range was $1,110,000 and the top end of the range was $1,270,000. So for that particular property, the range was much, much narrower at $160,000. So again, you've got some properties with a value range, you know, of $1.5 million between the top end and the bottom end of an automatic valuation report, and other properties with a range of $160,000 between the bottom and top end. That's a difference of 40% of the total estimated value being the range for the New Farm property and 13% of the total estimated value for the property at Carindale. So, you know, it's no wonder buyers are really confused when they're looking at some of these automatic valuation reports, because the range that can be provided can really confuse buyers as to where the value actually sits within that range.
That's pretty much exactly what I was going to say. I was actually just going to say, you can see why people get confused. Mm. So when a buyer goes to a property and I know that is a massive range, that other one, $1.5 million, you need a big buffer if you're going to go and buy that property. And if you work on the low, you need another $1 million compared to where you were, whereas some are a little bit more accurate. So this, I you can understand why this information and understanding these AVLs compared to what we do when we do our CMAs, so when we compare actual properties, which we can touch on a little bit, you can see how confused some buyers would actually be as well.
Scott, you mentioned the term CMA. What is that, just to explain to our listeners?
So what we do in-house when we look at a property, we do a comparative market analysis. Okay, so we will look at properties in the area, and we compare the properties as well. So we'll help, we'll look at the size of the land, we'll look at the finishes on the house, how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, how many garages. We break it down to try and get an actual comparison. So we try and pick as the properties as close as possible to that property, so we can understand what they sold for, when they sold, and understanding also how the market's moved as well, and then try and get a more accurate price guide on where we see value in the property, so, unlike an AVL.
Yeah, so an AVL purely reliant on data and algorithms, whereas a CMA or a comparative market analysis, which is produced by a buyer's agent, especially a REBA accredited buyer's agent who's very thorough in the processes that they follow, that will also have a lot of human elements, which will enable us to assess a neighborhood subjectively. We all know that within a suburb, there's going to be better areas than others, more elevated areas than others, better quality homes than others. And that all comes into the subjective assessment of value. No algorithm picks up that sort of detail.
Just on that as well, and this shows you how accurate a CMA can be, is that we can actually do a CMA on a property without seeing the property, but it's subject to us doing an inspection. So when we actually go and inspect the property, that could change. Mm. We could turn up and say, oh, this is not at the standard we actually thought it was. The photos on realestate.com are beautiful and it was a nice sunny day, even though the ground's all wet because it's been raining. So photos have been touched up. It looks and presents really well, but then we actually go and have a look at it, or it might go the other way. We might turn up and say, wow, this is a lot better than we actually thought it was. So then you adjust your CMA, and that's where the human element comes into it, where you can actually analyze property on property and really do that, you know, apples for apples, basically, I guess we say.
So I'd now like to just talk about within our data set, how many properties sold over the top end of the estimated value range from those AVLs, because this is quite alarming. Now, if you are a regular podcast listener, you will know how aggressively the Brisbane market has been growing again over the last 12 months. So because of the month-on-month and the quarter-on-quarter price growth that we have been experiencing, we have consistently been seeing that some properties are selling at the top end of our comparative market analysis, or sometimes even over, based on the current demand in the market. Whereas with those AVLs, or the automatic valuation reports, because they're all retrospective and they're lagging, we are seeing, and our data has confirmed, that a large majority of property, or sorry, I'll take that back, that a large portion of properties are still selling over the top end of those AVLs as well. So our data set of 35 properties showed 26%. So one quarter of the properties in our sample size actually sold for a price above the top end of the AVL range. Now, that's huge, because I know myself that we have a lot of clients that will receive our comparative market analysis, and they will say to us, you know, we've looked up the value online and it shows this range, whereas your reports come in a little bit higher. Can you explain? And it's very easy for us to explain, because we are looking at current data. We are understanding the neighborhood. We are looking at the quality and comparing the quality, whereas the AVLs are not understanding those sorts of elements. So it's a big concern that in our small data set for this particular study, 26% of the properties still sold over the top end of the valuation range that was estimated by CoreLogic. Now, what does that mean for a buyer in the current market, Scott?
They'll be confused.
Very confused.
And they'll probably miss out. Absolutely. If they're relying on these prices and they're relying on these estimates and they go to a property, they'll keep missing out. The more you miss out, the more it's going to cost, because if the market is moving like it is at the moment, it will continue to move. The market will get away on you and you'll continue to miss out.
Yeah, so where one quarter of properties are selling over the top end, it's very likely that, you know, if you're a buyer that is relying on those CoreLogic estimates, that you may miss out if you're consistently relying on it. You'll miss out 25% of the time if you're not even considering a price at the top end. So something to think about. But of course, within our data set, we also saw some properties sell below the bottom end of that automatic valuation report range as well, which was somewhat of a surprise, I must admit, to me when I was looking at the raw data. However, having looked into it further, I could see the reasoning behind that information. So based on this data set, 14% of properties that we studied actually sold at an amount that was lower than the lowest end of the automatic valuation range, 14%. So again, for any property buyers that may be looking at an automatic valuation report, they may see value at a higher level in some properties if you don't understand some of the impacts as to why the AVL is valuing those properties higher.
A little bit of local knowledge as well mm-hmm. will come into this. And not surprisingly, some of the properties that actually sold under are affected by some way. There's some sort of effect to the property. Now, those effects range from things like flood impact. It's an original old home, needs a lot of renovations. Main road needs work on it as well. It's a smaller type of property as well. So there's so many things that can have an impact on that, which doesn't get picked up in the AVLs.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, we then went back through the data to determine why did these properties sell under or over the lower end or the top end of the valuation range according to these automatic valuation reports. Now, Scott has accurately pointed out some of the reasons why those properties sold under the lowest end of the range. So the first property that sold under that range was an almost unlivable property and a big renovation was needed. Now, of course, no algorithm in an automatic valuation report is able to determine that particular property was unlivable or uninhabitable. So, you know, again, having a human element to determine the quality of that particular property is needed to adjust, and you shouldn't rely on automatic valuation reports for properties like that. Another that sold under the lowest end of the automatic valuation range was an original Queenslander on a main road that needed a lot of work as well. So again, two impacts, large renovation needed, so major concern on quality, and also a main road. No algorithm is going to determine that a property is on a main road or in a quiet residential area. So again, that's where human intervention is needed to provide that subjective assessment because no mathematical model will be able to determine a main road from a quiet residential street. And the third property that sold well under the estimated range was a property that was flood impacted. And again, algorithms won't pick up these types of impacts. And so it is important to you as a property buyer that you understand some of these things that can impact value, because you don't want to be relying on automatic valuation reports that may overestimate the value of a property in instances where the quality or the location might be impacted in some way.
And I guess I know you've got a couple of examples there as well. If we flip it onto the other side and we look at properties that sold way over that range, considerably over the range, and they're very, very different compared to what the algorithms and what the computer side of things would actually say. When you look at the property, they're so much different to what they are. And this is, again, a big difference in when you rely on this sort of information.
Yeah, absolutely. So we will go to those that sold over the top end of the range. Now, the first property there was an architectural masterpiece in a parkside location, and this property sold $410,000 over the top end of the range. So just for some perspective, the top end of the range was $2,100,000 and the property sold for $2,510,000. So the actual range that CoreLogic had for this property was between $1.69 million and $2.1 million. So any buyers that would have been looking at that range would have been, really disappointed when that property sold for $2,510,000. So well above the actual range as estimated by CoreLogic. But very high quality property, as I said, an architectural masterpiece and parkside location. So no algorithm is going to determine the age of the building, the quality of the fixtures of fittings, nor is it going to determine that it's a parkside location, which is extremely desirable and typically will put higher demand on that specific property. The second property that I'll talk to that sold well over the top end of the range was a property where the range was between $3,490,000 and the top end was at $4,920,000. This particular property sold for $5,900,000. So a massive difference of $980,000 over the top end of the estimated value based on the automatic valuation range. And again, a very unique property. It was a contemporary architectural home in a riverside location. So again, no algorithm is going to be able to determine the additional value that the architectural design will bring, that the quality fixtures and fittings will bring, or the fact that it's a riverside residence. And these are the sorts of things that are important for buyers to understand when they're assessing value.
So I think if you went to the auction at that property and you had the estimate of the middle range of the 4.2 mil, I think the paddle might have gone back into your pocket pretty quick because you would have run out of money very, very quick. So there's a lot of information when we talk about AVLs, CMAs, all those types of things. Hopefully we've explained it for everyone when we just throw these letters in. But what are three big takeaways?
Look, for listeners today, the top three takeaways that I have for you is that alarmingly, 40% of automatic valuation reports are grossly inaccurate, according to our in-house research of the sample that we looked at here in Brisbane. Now, that is huge, and that is a concern if you are relying on these reports to determine property value. 40% of AVLs grossly inaccurate. I'll also say that automatic valuation reports do not consider the quality of a home, the location of a home, or any impacts on that home. So if you are looking for a property that's not a run-of-the-mill property in an area, it is so important that you understand comparable properties that have sold more so than relying on those automatic valuation reports. Third takeaway for today is that human analysis is required for assessing property value, and you cannot rely solely on artificial intelligence or automatic valuation reports. Our in-house research has again confirmed that. And if you refer to the blog in the show notes provided, the link is in the show notes, you will also see other research that's been conducted in the past around the accuracy and the validity of these automatic valuation reports. They have a place in providing a quick snapshot view, but it is so important that consumers don't rely on them as hearsay for reporting property values.
Yeah, definitely. I do apologise for everyone. I didn't get a weather update in the report today, but it's beautiful up here in Brisbane. It's a bit of a fresh change overnight. It was a bit of a cool swim this morning when I went for my morning swim, but it's still beautiful sunny days up here in Brizzy, so I thought I'd sneak that in towards the end of it. A lot of information. Thanks everyone behind the scenes that does all of this research, Pauline, and all our in-house research team. There's a lot of info there for people. As Melinda said, just be aware of what you're looking at. I think if you need help, reach out to someone that can help you with a bit more accurate information, help you with the process of buying property, whether it's investment or a home. As usual, I will let Melinda wrap it up and talk again next week. Thanks very much for listening and bye for now.
Thank you once again for joining us on the Brisbane Property Podcast. As always, if you have enjoyed this episode, we encourage you to leave us a review, but also share this episode with friends and family, especially those that are looking to purchase a property and that they may be looking at those automatic valuation reports. As always, we do hope you have enjoyed this episode. We look forward to speaking to you again next week. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in today. Please remember, everything we have spoken about on this podcast is general in nature, and we always recommend that you obtain independent advice in relation to your specific circumstances. If you liked today's episode, don't forget to subscribe or leave us a review on iTunes. And of course, tell your friends about us. If you would like to get in contact, please visit www.brisbanepropertypodcast.com.au or email us at info@brisbanepropertypodcast.com.au. Feel free to send in any questions, and we will try to answer them in future episodes.